of Stage and Studio here at KBOO Community Radio today.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
Give some money to this station. They deserve it.
And also get those tickets so you can get more info and tickets for the show at Milagro Watsonville at milagro.org. And I have all that info and the podcast of this show at stageandstudio.org and at kbu.fm/stageandstudio. So that's it for Stage and Studio this week. Thank you, of course, to our engineer, and I'm Jenny Yokoyama filling in for D-May Roberts this week. And maybe, you know, give us a call, 877-500-5266 in this last minute of Stage and Studio. Again, thank you for tuning in.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Danny V debut EP release on Thursday, April 26th from 8:30 to 11 p.m. at Mississippi Pizza in Portland. Singer-songwriter and musician Danny V is throwing his debut EP release party. Also performing will be Salvatore Manalo and Kea on the Mountain. Again, that's the Danny V debut EP release on Thursday, April 26th from 8:30 to 11 p.m. at Mississippi Pizza, 3552 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I did it in my childhood, you know, kicking that dirt. At mile 17 to the evergreens, and damn sure do you look good, I'll tell you now.
And you've been listening to Stage and Studio on KBOO Community Radio, and this is our spring membership drive. We still have a couple of tickets left to Watsonville, someplace not here at the Milagro Theater, for your $70 contribution to KBOO or more. That's a pair of tickets that you can get to see that show. Do call now and get in on that offer. This is your last chance to be in on the ticket offer for Stage and Studio. The number is 877-500-5266. Maybe you've been thinking about seeing a show, and you can still manage to do that right now if you call and support KBOO. Get tickets as your thank you. 877-500-5266. Watsonville, someplace not here, is one that I really want to see. I have also been wanting to see this play that the actor came a couple of weeks ago, And So We Walked, An Artist's Journey Along the Trail of Tears. She was on Stage and Studio just recently, and we just have two pairs of tickets for that. 877-500-5266. That Trail of Tears theater piece is a $90 membership for a pair. You get a thank you gift for your membership.
Jenka, that's terrific. And we want to take this opportunity, first of all, to remind everybody of the number, 877-500-5266. And also to take this opportunity to thank Peter of the Northeast Portland for renewing his membership.
Peter Pan?
Perhaps he's going there with the family. Ah. One never knows. We also want to take this opportunity to let folks know of another ticket package available for a $60 annual membership, which is just $5 a month. You can get a pair of tickets to the Fuse Theater Ensemble presentation of Cabaret, an LGBTQ presentation. So, interesting approach. And for just $60, you can get the pair of tickets to this presentation right here at the Fuse Theater.
These tickets are going fast.
They are going fast. So before we start over with, move on rather to Art Focus, let me just take this last opportunity to remind you of the phone number, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm and click donate, or use your phone app and go to the KBOO app and click on donate.
Hi there. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM 90.7 Community Radio. My name is Eric Bartels. This Friday will be the first day of the Ceramic Showcase at the Oregon Convention Center, a three-day event that brings together the work of over 150 local artists. We have as our guest today Becky Clark, who's the president of the Oregon Potters Association, which created the event 36 years ago. Becky, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, let's get this out of the way quickly. Pottery, ceramics, what's the difference?
Well, you know, they're more or less the same thing, except ceramics is the material that the art form is made out of. Pottery is usually something that's made on a potter's wheel, but we're much more than that. We do hand building or sculpture or combinations in between.
Let's clear up another sort of potential misconception right from the start. I see ceramics convention or ceramics showcase, and I think, well, grandma's going to go in there and look for a cute little something to put her umbrella in, or, and I don't mean to sort of speak badly about grandma or things that you put your umbrellas in. That's not all of what the ceramic showcase is about.
Sure, absolutely not. Well, we do hope that you are thinking of your mother and your grandmother for Mother's Day and stop on by. There are a broad range of ceramics available for purchase. There are certainly some contemporary, more modern and contemporary styles available. I know you might want to, you might work at home, and you might want a nice vase to look at, or you know, a favorite coffee mug. We have some pretty cool designs. There's a lot to choose from.
Is this stuff more popular than some people imagine? I think that there, again, to go back to that sort of misconception, there's this sense of ceramics or pottery as being conventional in some way, or we associate it with something that doesn't really truly represent the whole spectrum of it.
Yeah, well, you know what? We live in a really unique place where people are trying to get more in touch with the earth and with nature. And I think, you know, people are trying to get out of using plastics and that sort of thing. It's becoming trendier for people to want to buy more handmade things. The restaurant business is starting to start to buy more handmade plates and dinnerware. So I think it's kind of making a comeback.
What's the breakdown between sort of usable objects and art? Is it, are they sort of equally represented, or is, does it, is the art sort of making inroads, the artistic pieces, is that sort of a latecomer to the game, or how does this, how much different does this event look than it did 36 years ago when it started? Not that you were there.
Sure. Yeah. No, it started, I was young when it started. You know, it's probably more or less the same. There's a broad spectrum of everything, although it was much smaller then. We certainly have lots and lots of functional pottery, but we are getting more and more sculptural work. There are figurative work. We have a lot of garden work. There's sort of everything in between.
Now, as the president of the Oregon Potters Association, do you have an interest in promoting certain types of work? Do you? Is it completely up to the artist or the sort of collective of artists out there what you get, what you see?
Yeah, well, we're most interested, because we're a nonprofit, about the educational aspects of ceramics. And we want everyone to have a chance to express themselves with ceramics. So one of the reasons that we are the largest show and sale in our nation is because we don't discriminate. Our job is to help and educate. So we allow every member the opportunity to show in this sale. And, you know, everybody gets better and better because they have freedom to try it out.
Yeah, before we forget, now, are there some opportunities for visitors to participate? And are there classes? Are there demonstrations? Or are there some sort of interactive elements to the
Yeah, absolutely. We have a kids' play area, which is always popular with young children. We're very family-friendly. We also have every day, every hour, live demonstrations with our professional potters. You can come in and grab a chair. We have live music. And the interesting thing about our music is that we only have potters who are the musicians. And we have some really, really good potter musicians.
I was going to say, they're not just sort of as musicians. They're good potters. They're also good musicians.
Exactly.
You yourself have been in the business as an artist for a long time.
Sure, I've been doing it for about 10 years.
What drew you to it? Were you always, did you practice other styles of other forms of art and then sort of came to the pottery and the ceramics, or?
Sure. Yeah, when I went to college, I knew I wanted to be an art major, and I thought I wanted to be a painter. And then haphazardly, I took a ceramics class, and that just is what spoke to me. The pottery wheel and playing in the clay. Ultimately, I did bronze and pottery.
There are artists out there that do both, that paint and sculpt or pot. What is it that draws someone to pottery and ceramics as opposed to the flat canvas, in your opinion?
Oh, well, one of the coolest things about pottery is that it's really community-oriented. When you get together in a classroom, you all get to work together, you make friends, you learn techniques. It's all about sharing. You do a kiln firing, everybody gets to work together, and in the end, you come out with this beautiful product. So, and you know, once you realize that you get to make something that you hold in your hand, and if it's a mug, like I have a mug in my hand right now that's made out of clay, it kind of becomes this intimate object. Somebody else made it, and I get to appreciate it. And, you know, sometimes it's consciously, sometimes it's subconscious, but...
It sometimes, not always, but sometimes has an actual real-world use.
Right.
I mean, which is not to say that a painting on the wall isn't of value or isn't serving a purpose.
Sure.
It occurred to me that someone who sculpts or pots might feel strange trying to do something in two dimensions.
Yeah.
And now you've been both a painter and a sculptor. You can confirm or deny that.
Well, ultimately, my preference is the three dimension. But some people, there are some really good, some talented artists who do both. They'll like use it as their canvas and do some beautiful drawing or brushwork.
So for you, I mean, you said you used the term three dimensions. And, you know, without being an expert or anything like it, I wonder if that's the appeal for sculptors and potters, that the fact that you have to create something that exists in the open air, that isn't lying on a canvas. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's possible to describe that feeling.
Yeah, no, I've noticed one thing about potters versus two-dimensional artists, and this isn't always the case, but if you put something like a ball of clay in front of somebody who... a potter, they'll pick it up without thinking about it and start manipulating it and making new things. So
a painter won't pick it up?
Well, sure, a painter, I guess, would probably be more inclined just to start doodling on their sketch pad.
Or painting on the clay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you sort of ever feel the history in your hands when you think about, I mean, painting has also been around for a long time, but you go to a museum, you see works of, you know, ceramic clay, they're thousands of years old. I mean, obviously it's something that we've been compelled to do for a long time. Do you ever sort of have a sense of, you know, sort of carrying that torch when you're creating?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's probably one of the appeals of it is this thing could last forever. What if somebody finds this artifact buried in their backyard in 100 years?
Now, are you kidding, or do you really sometimes think that?
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool.
Because it has happened. I mean, it's a fact.
I mean,
you can go to the Portland Art Museum and see, you know, plates and bowls that are 10,000 years old.
Yeah.
I might be slightly off on the numbers, but
sure.
I've been around a long time.
Right.
So let's go back a little bit to the event this weekend. It starts Friday, runs through Sunday. We'll talk about the hours a little bit before we leave. The event is free.
It's absolutely free.
And what is it you see? Now, you've now been, you're newly the president of the Oregon Potters Association, but I assume you've been attending the ceramic showcase for some time. What happens there that might surprise, you know, the uninitiated? Is it livelier than people might expect? Is it more well attended than people might expect? Is the variety of things that you see there beyond what you'd sort of anticipate?
Yeah, if this is your first time, be prepared to be surprised. There will be a lot of, there are always a lot of people who go. Sometimes there's a line in the mornings when we open. And, you know, just going is just kind of an experience because every booth is completely different from the previous booth. And everybody has a different style. And you'll fall in love with different things or you'll think this or that are interesting. It's great.
You talked about, not to play favorites or anything, but you did mention some names of some kind of notable artists that are participating. One was a man named James DeRosso.
Yeah.
His stuff is a little unusual.
Yeah, James lives in Southeast Portland, and he has a studio here. I believe he teaches some classes. He makes monsters, and that is what he is known for making, and they are pretty, they've got a lot of personality.
Now, can we assume that he was driven to do that because the market for strange ceramic figures, monstrous ceramic figures is large.
Yeah, yeah. He's been doing it for as long as I've known him, and he almost always sells out of his work. So
you mentioned a couple of other artists. You yourself were one of the participating artists owners at Stark Street Studios until somewhat recently. Some of those people are still there. You mentioned Babette Harvey.
Yeah.
What is it about her stuff that is worth sort of looking into?
Yeah, when I first moved to Portland and I needed studio space, Stark Street Studio was really welcoming, and they had a space that I could join. My first space was really small. It was a hallway. That's how busy they are. There was always a wait list. Babette was there, and she was always a good example to me. She does works of nature, animals. She does some female bust figures with leaves on them. They're usually a statement about the environment and how we're treating our planet.
Let's talk about that a little bit. She was not the only artist you mentioned who has a little bit of a political position in his or her work.
Right.
And when I say political, I mean to certainly advocating for, care of the environment is not controversial.
Yeah, no. There are other artists. All of a sudden, their names escape me. When you study their artwork, you can see it's very apparent. You might not notice at first glance that you're looking at wildlife, but then you'll see at first glance you'll see the fish swimming in the ocean, and then you start to see, oh wait, there's like junk also surrounding them, and yeah, this is unfortunately what our ocean is looking like, and that's not how it should look. We don't want to see all this garbage floating around the sea life.
Well, and these still manage to be, I assume these still manage to be appealing pieces.
They're beautiful. They're very meticulously hand-drawn and carved mugs and other pieces.
We talked...
Dennis Miners. This is Dennis Miners we're talking about.
Okay. We talked... off air about Dawn Pantaha, who is a fairly well-known name in Portland. She's kind of a bit of a bon vivant, if I'm not mistaken. She's been involved in some sort of entertainment things, as well as being quite an impressive ceramicist.
Yeah.
I should let you describe the kind of stuff she does.
Sure. Yeah. I'm just, the more I get to know Dawn, the more I am awed by her awesomeness. She's in a band. I think it's called Karaoke from Hell. Right. She teaches theater classes at Multnomah Arts Center. And the little I know about her work, it's called Lost Dolls. The story is that I'm sorry, Dawn, if I'm getting this all wrong. She found old porcelain dolls in her grandmother's attic that were broken and abandoned, and I think they just kind of spoke to her, and she kind of took off with that.
They're very powerfully evocative of a type of doll, of a type of work. There's something instantly very classic about them.
Yeah.
And frankly, a little strange.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of old dolls that were kind of strange.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of the mystique with the old porcelain doll, is that they're kind of once spooky.
It's like clowns.
Right. And she sculpts them beautifully. I mean, there's nothing like kitschy about them. They're definitely beautiful works of art.
What about your own stuff? It can be seen on your website.
Sure. I used to make a lot more functional wear when I was at Stark Street Studio. And 5 years ago, we found out we were going to have a little girl. So I kind of took a break from making pottery, and now I have a home studio. But I still throw. Now I don't do as many functional pieces. My work is more influenced by children's toys. So I do a little bit more sculpture, bright colors, and playful objects.
And you've shown these pieces, I assume, since you sort of made that switch. You people have had the opportunity to see them and to purchase them. And what's been the sort of response?
So, this will be my first time showing them at this year's Ceramic Showcase. There's going to be a special exhibit at this showcase. It's called Northwest Artists Interpret Their World. It's one of our fundraising events. Mm. The artists are making these art poles. We're calling them art poles or piece poles, And so I'm going to do two of these art polls, which kind of show my playfulness. They are similar to abstract stacking blocks, and all of the profits will go to help OPA do some youth education projects.
So really, people are going to see, I assume there you had a following for the, when you were making the sort of more functional, bowls and
such
things. There's some people are going to be seeing this new sort of direction of yours for the first time.
Right, right.
You mentioned there is an event called Gathering of the Guilds, which is happening concurrently with the ceramic showcase. What is that?
Yeah, the Gathering of the Guilds are great. They're a group of jewelers, the Portland fiber artists. I'm so sorry if I'm getting them wrong. There's fiber artists and Woodworkers Guild and a few others. We're going to be sharing the same hall. The ceramic showcase will be on one side, and then they'll be all together on the other side.
And so this is different. I mean, in past years at the ceramic showcase, this hasn't been sort of an extra.
Right. So we did do this last year. So this is our second year doing it. But for many, many years, we didn't do it with them. Sometimes they have been in a different hall. They did their show at the same time that we did, but never this close to us. This time we will be together in the same hall.
Let me ask you, what is the value of being seen as, I don't want to say relevant, sort of fashionable in the sort of pottery and ceramics world? And we're sort of going back, we're kind of circling back to that misconception about what pottery is, what ceramics are in the minds of some people. When you show when painters show their work at Pearl District galleries or, sort of edgy galleries elsewhere in town, there's kind of an automatic cachet to that, as opposed to, other ideas that might be out there around ceramics and pottery. Do you feel that? Do you acknowledge that?
Yes.
Do potters and ceramicists feel any pressure to sort of be cool?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's part of our nonprofit, is we're there to validate you when you're ready and you feel like you've made something that you're ready to show the world, but you're just not sure how to do it or how people will take it. This is kind of a comfortable space. So that's where we usually, any newbie who doesn't have experience, we usually have like a group booth, and that's a good place to start off. And then the more professional you get and the more confident you get, more your work sells because you're awesome. You have a booth.
Well, and do you see what comes through the door for you as the president of the Potters Association? Is there a sort of on the ground? Is there an interest in ceramics and pottery? Has it always been there? Is there a trajectory there at all? Is it getting more popular? Anything you've observed in that regard?
Well, to some extent, I think it's always been there. But the more I see, I think it's picking up popularity. When we first started, there weren't very many places in Portland that you could sell your work. Now there are loads of potters in Oregon, so it's definitely picking up.
Right. So this isn't the sort of last chance Texaco. I mean, it's now gotten to where you can, if you're a potter, if you're creating ceramic work, there are, you can sell the stuff. You can it can be seen. People can buy it.
Right.
But this is the big one.
This is the big one.
The 36th annual ceramic showcase. We'll get real specific here. The ceramic showcase begins this Friday, the 27th of April, runs from 10 to 7, and then on Saturday, the 28th, 10 to 5, and on Sunday, the 29th, 10 to 4. It is. Did I mention that it's free? I assume that.
Yep.
Is that can't hurt.
Right.
I also heard the weather's supposed to, we've been enjoying this great weather. I've heard it's supposed to take a turn, so maybe that's an opportunity to...
Good time to come inside.
Be driven indoors, or a thing to do when that happens. What else? What have we forgotten? Who did we not mention? What did we leave out?
Well, I do want to mention, we do, this year, the Oregon Potters Association, one of our other projects, we don't just have sales, we do a lot of outreach, community outreach. cultural exchange. We are working with our sister city in Sapporo, Japan. They have invited us. This is their third time they've invited OPA members to do an exhibit at their art museum in Hokkaido. So we're 30 OPA members get to go and exhibit their work. And also they have a youth project in that they work with local youth there to create these peace poles. And we have all been joining them. Many of our educators have gone into classrooms, and OPA funds the project. We work with students with clay, and we are making peace poles. The youth peace poles are going to be on exhibit in the lobby of Ceramic Showcase this year. And they are great to look out. It's great to see what the students are making. And then you can go inside and you can buy a smaller peace pole, tabletop pole from
very
an
nice.
Artist.
Very yeah. nice. So just to review, yes, grandma could find something she likes.
Sure.
But you could also run into something a little dangerous.
Absolutely.
The ceramic 36th Annual Ceramic Showcase at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Northeast Portland, starts this Friday, runs through the weekend. President of the Oregon Potters Association, Becky Clark, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM 90.7 Community Radio. My name is Eric Bartels. Thanks for joining us.
And good morning and welcome back to the KBOO Spring Membership Drive. I'm here with my friend Jenka, and we're asking you to take this opportunity and show your continued support for your community radio station and give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm and click on that donate button. You know, it was interesting listening to Eric Bartels just now, Jenka. As a former Potter myself, and I think back to all the years I've been listening to the radio, and it's been a lot of them, I have never heard a show about Potters before. And this really just shows the breadth of coverage and the activity around not just public affairs, but culture, arts, the theater that you get here at KBOO. And this is why support from our listeners is so important to keep that vibrant community activity open. So take this opportunity, please. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm and ask about our ticket packages. In fact, Jenka, we have several great ticket offerings, don't we?
We do, and we just have four minutes left in this hour, and we do have a couple of those tickets left. We don't have any more Peter Pan tickets. We do have Watsonville, someplace not here, for your $70 membership in KBOO. Then you get a pair of tickets to that. We also have a pair of tickets, $90 membership for And So We Walked, An Artist's Journey Along the Trail of Tears. I was listening to this amazing performer talk about her one-woman show on KBOO a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, if you don't pick up these tickets, I might just have to make an extra contribution to KBOO and get these. And if you look at Portland Center Stage, it's $50 a ticket, something like this, and here you get $90, a pair of tickets, and a KBOO membership. So if you are interested in Native American history, in this connection to the earth, that this woman went on the Trail of Tears with her father, really connected to that history and brought a story together, a performance out of that, that ticket, a pair of tickets can be yours, a $90 contribution to KBOO, but you need to call right now, 877-500-5266. It's not all heartbreak either. It's a funny show. She's a very wonderful performer. I heard her on KBOO, and she just really exudes a sense of connection, and she's just a beautiful person. I hope that you will go and see Delana Studi in her show. $90 membership to KBOO. That's all it takes to get tickets and to get your yearly membership taken care of here on your community radio station. We are reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. We know you are too, and you depend on KBOO. Please support us in the next 2 minutes. 877-500-5266. I see Tanya and the Spanish programmers coming in for the Spanish language shows. We urge you to support in the last couple of minutes of public affairs this morning. 877-500-5266. 5266. It's so important that we reach our goal for this show.
And Jenki, you mentioned the good opportunity to score those tickets for just a $90 commitment. It can be done either all at once or can be done on a monthly basis. We're happy to help out in any way. Don is still here waiting to take your call. We have this opportunity. In fact,
it's $750 a month,
and Don is here to take your call. And you know, not only do you have an opportunity to score those tickets, but by becoming a member today, you are automatically entered into the drawing. And today's drawing is a certificate for two classes at Open Signal and Portland Community Media. Learn video editing, learn all kinds of skills that you can use as a citizen journalist or a media maker. And so take this opportunity, give a call, 877-500-5266. I'm going to repeat that number just before you go out the door. Write it down, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. Click on that donate button and show your continued support for KBOO. We've been here for 50 years. We want to be here for 50 more, and we can do it with your support. 877-500-5266. Please call now.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Revolution Coffee House, located at 1432 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland, serving breakfast, lunch, dessert, and Mexican coffee only, grown by fair trade cooperatives of native Mayan farmers living in the highlands of Chiapas, Mexico, and Guatemala. Lunch was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, located at 831 Northwest 23rd Avenue and serving Mexican food for over 20 years in Portland. They have an event calendar as well. Dinner was provided by Tamale Boy, located at 668 North Russell Street, serving vegetarian, vegan, and meat tamales. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The daily prize drawing is subject to all applicable